The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, and this is the end of an era for Vince McMahon on Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What up, guys? My name is Shannon Young, Mr. 100, CCW's shiningiest star. And I'm here, of course, with Double H, the original general manager of CCW, original host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, co-host of Podzilla 1985, former DJ on Real Rock 99.3, The Fix. Double H.
Just keep going back. I was once, I starred in Guys and Dolls in high school.
You got a couple of video games out there that you've lent your voice to.
That's very cool.
Soon to be part of the Midwest. I can't remember the exact name of it right now.
Strange Tales, the Midwest Conference of the Unknown.
Yes. Coming this summer. You're in that too.
Our friends over at Comically Inclined have produced a little short radio play called At the Door. And we'll be doing that on night two of the conference on Saturday, August 6th.
It's exciting stuff, man.
It's
a busy year for us at Podzilla 1985. Yeah. We got a lot of projects we're working on. But here tonight, we're here to talk about pro wrestling here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, the former flagship show of PZ85. Probably still the best show we do.
Now the secret sloop. That's right. We slip in and are the best thing of the week, and nobody knows.
Except the people that listen to it. And we love you guys.
You people know.
Yeah. So let's start off this week. What is this, Halo? Are we going to start throwing out offensive terms? No. As we do every week, we like to take an idea that our friends over at Nerdiest Part of the Ring, Asa and Dalton, former hosts, co-hosts here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and still
will not be doing a show this week because Asa is currently at AEW Dynamite in St. Louis.
Yes, and Dalton couldn't be here with us tonight because Dalton and I did CCW Live together earlier, and it was a train wreck.
You gotta keep kayfabe going, man.
Oh my god! So really quick, if you haven't watched it, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that are listening. If you haven't watched it, go to CCW's Facebook page. Dalton and I did a thing on CCW Live where we absolutely tore each other apart verbally in a way I don't think anyone's ever done in a CCW. It was extremely personal, and to the point, I shit you not. So Dalton gets on. He says, hey, let me just say my piece. It's going to be like 2-3 minutes, but please don't interrupt me. I just really need to get this all out. I'm like, yeah, go for it, man. That's cool. So he gets on. He says his piece. He wants me to look like I'm affected. So I do. I look like I'm affected. And as he's talking, it's affecting me. I don't know if it's the acting, because I like to think I'm a decent actor. But I'm starting to do a Jared Leto thing and get into the role too much. I'm living the gimmick. So I'm getting angrier and angrier as he's talking. Then he leaves before I can reply, and then I cut my promo, and I'm just screaming at the microphone. I'm dropping F-bombs all over the place because I'm actually, like, enraged at that point. So Dalton texts me afterwards and is like, how was it? I'm like, it was really good. You know, there's a lot of anger there. And he tells me, yeah, I don't know how, but I made myself really angry. I'm driving around right now to calm down. And I was like, dude, I was also so angry. I had tears in my eyes. I was screaming at the mic. And I asked Dalton, do we actually hate each other? Like, is this legit? Oh man.
Well, what happened there, I don't know if you remember, but there was a great man who once said what happened was that you worked to work and worked yourself into a shoot, Mark.
Yeah. HH. That's Double H saying that too. That's exactly what I told Dalton too, is like, I just said,
Marks.
I worked myself into a shoot, HH. Anyway, so what they do over on Nerdiest Part of the Ring is they talk about they put positivity out into the world for pro wrestling.
Yes.
And they like to mention something at the start of the show that is positive. Here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we do not do that. We take the opposite approach. We talk about the worst of pro wrestling, and we have things that we hate. And Hunter, this week, it's really hard to talk about anything that I hate that isn't involved with the stories we're going to talk about. So
I found one little thing, because really, I mean, we have two major stories this week. I have one, I don't want to say little, I guess, but I have one thing outside of that I think is worthy of mention.
I also have one.
Go for it. You go first.
Hopefully it's not the same one. Does it involve Tammy Sitch?
Nope.
Okay, good. My thing this week, Tammy Sitch, this horrible fucking monster, she... I'd have to look up the story to get the exacts on it now, but she's trying to get the lawsuit against her dismissed because the person who was in... we'll have to look it up real quick. Basically saying that the person that filed it wasn't legally able to file the lawsuit. It's a member of the guy's family that had passed away. So she's trying to get the lawsuit dismissed on like a technical level. And to me, that is just really shitty from someone who basically, you know, got drunk and killed a guy. You are saying, well, I'm not taking responsibility for this because you didn't do this technically. And I guess technically is the best kind of right. And you can look up the exacts on it yourself, but it just, the reason I hate this so much is because people don't take, they don't take responsibility for the bad things they do. One thing that I've always tried to do in my life, because I've done a lot of bad things, a lot of things that I've tried to make up for, is I take responsibility whenever I do something wrong. Sometimes it takes me longer to see it than others. And sometimes it's a gray area of, okay, it's wrong, but I did it for the right reasons, or I tried to do it for good reasons, but it's still wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But this is something that is just objectively wrong. This is getting drunk and causing the death of somebody innocent. And the fact that she's trying to get it overturned on a lawsuit level, and maybe we'll see what they try to do in court when the trial starts, but trying to get that dismissed on a technical level just seems really scummy to me. And I don't know why I expect anything else from Tammy Sitch, who has proven herself time and time again to be a complete scum lord, but it still irked me the wrong way. And that is the thing that I hate in wrestling this week, on top of the things that we're about to talk about.
I'm going to pull it back directly to wrestling and say, I hate when people go into business for themselves. Now, I'm not saying that's what Thunder Rosa did last week in her women's world title match against Marina Shafir, but watch that match back, because she's been accused of it several times now. So we know that, well, okay, I don't want to say we know. Let me rephrase that. It has been rumored, that's the rumor, that Thunder Rosa is not real happy with her role in AEW right now. Even though she is the Women's World Champion, she's not featured as often as some of the other women, Britt Baker in particular, the former Women's Champion that she won the title from. And so when she defends her title against Marina Shafir, if you watch this match, it's sloppy one way or another. There's no getting around that. But there are several moments where it looks like that sloppiness is almost intentional. There's in particular a suplex spot really bad, as though Thunder Rosa just she's sandbagger. She doesn't properly carry herself over, and it just doesn't look great. She has since gone on to say that was not at all what happened. Definitively, she said no, because she was asked about it. She said, quote, "I have nothing but respect for my opponents. Anyone that dares stand in the ring with me, I have nothing but respect for them. I send nothing but blessings moving forward. I will continue to work harder, have the best matches I can." At one point in time, she says, "People are going to talk, and that's fine. I'm not worried about that. I will continue to move forward." But really, other than just saying no, you know, and maybe I'm putting too soft a point on that. Well, all she said was no, you know. I don't know what else she's supposed to say, but she very quickly gets away from that subject. And again, nobody's going to admit it. She's not going to come out and say, "Oh yeah, I intentionally, you know, made her look bad in the ring." But it is hard to watch that match. And I feel like I wish I had seen it before I heard any commentary about this, and if I had been able to form that opinion myself. It's hard to watch that match now and not go, "None of this looks like Marina Shafir's fault." Maybe one or two things are a little, you know, just miscommunicative, you know, something that's a problem for both of them. But that suplex spot in particular looks like Thunder Rosa just goes, "You know what? I don't care about this. This is not important. It's below me. I'm just going to dead weight her and see what happens." And that's not how this whole thing works, man. I don't care how lapsed a fan you are. I don't care how involved you are in the comings and goings and the backstaging stuff of professional wrestling. There has to be, if there's one base rule, it's that everybody goes in there to put on the right show, to make people look good. Everybody comes out looking good. Everybody plays it safe. This is the first time that you step over the line on that. Like, this is the first way in which you go past that, just not doing what you're expected to do. Yeah. That's not okay. That's not good.
This isn't the first time I've heard about this with Thunder Rosa. She had a match with another wrestler not too long ago. Right. I'm trying to remember who that wrestler was.
And it was not an AEW, if I remember correctly.
Ivelisse.
It was AAA, maybe?
Oh, no, it was AEW.
Oh, yeah. It was Impact.
Yeah. I think it was Ivelisse. I may be wrong on that. I'm probably wrong on that.
You're right, yeah.
But they did not have a great match. I don't know if it was Ivelisse. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. And I apologize if it's not. But
I know she was involved in a situation like that, whether it was with Thunder Rosa or not, I don't remember.
But they had a match, and the girl that Thunder Rosa was wrestling very clearly was not putting in the effort and made her look back. So when I saw this thing with Thunder Rosa, I thought it was that again. I thought somebody else had done that to her, and then I watched the match, yeah. And yeah, she swears up and down she didn't sandbag or anything like that, but that suplex spot alone is very clearly she did not jump for that. Right. Shafir had to crank her neck and jam her up to get her over. Yeah. And which really sucks because I love Thunder Rosa. I think Thunder Rosa is a great talent. She's wrestled in CCW. Yeah. It's one of my favorite moments I've ever had. I was still ring announcing at the time, and Thunder Rosa was in a four-way match, I believe, or maybe it was a three-way match with, I know, at least Sarah Summers and Little Bit. And as Thunder Rosa's in the ring, Little Bit does her entrance. What she used to do is they would shine like a light behind her behind the curtain, and you would see her silhouette dancing around, moving before she came out. And Thunder Rosa asked me, like, why did she get to do that? I mean, she was completely joking around. She's like, why did she get to do that? That's not fair. And then she starts yelling at her in Spanish, and it was very, very funny. While we were in the ring, we talked about Godzilla while we were waiting for them to make their entrance because she's a huge Godzilla fan. She apparently takes a Godzilla with her everywhere she goes and takes pictures with it, like at landmarks. And I thought she was super cool. So I love Thunder Rosa. I hope that this is just either an accident or whatever. I don't know. We'll never know that. But I do know Britt Baker liked the tweet talking about her doing it, and that's not good. That's not cool.
This is why I phrase it not as I hate Thunder Rosa or I hate Thunder Rosa doing this. I hate when people do that thing that she may have done. Yeah. That's the problem. If you start going into business for yourself, you're not, that's not business. That's not the business.
Yeah.
You're not doing anybody any favors because it's going to be very obvious, and all you're going to do is tank your own reputation.
Yeah, because wrestling, I know you haven't, I don't want to pull a Dalton and be like, well, you're not a wrestler, but I know you've never wrestled. You've been involved in wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
But you know, as everyone knows, it's not just people that have wrestled, that when you wrestle, you are giving yourself over to your opponent. You're trusting them to take care of you. They're trusting you to take care of them. And when somebody goes into business for themselves, you break that trust. That is, I almost feel like that should be a disqualification for being a wrestler. Hurting someone that is allowing you to hurt them does not make you tough. It just makes you an asshole. Right. I think of three specific instances where this happened that will always stick with me. One was Perry Saturn when there was a enhancement talent that dropped him on his head a little, you know, in a way that he didn't appreciate, and it was an accident. So Perry Saturn went into business for himself and just started beating the guy up, tossed him around, threw him outside, almost broke his neck. I mean, it was bad. He was punished in WWE by giving the Moppy gimmick, if you remember that. That was classy.
That's how they used to dole out punishments.
Yeah,
that's
give him a stupid gimmick. I remember
that didn't get us over.
Low Key was a giant asshole who would do it all the time. Yeah. I truly despise Low Key. I think he is an awful, awful wrestler. I mean, he's a good wrestler, but Jesus Christ, if you can't even do the basics of not hurting your opponent, like, you know, when they're trusting you, then you shouldn't be a wrestler.
I mean, there's an infamous botch of him where the match starts, and I can't remember who he was facing, but the match starts. The first move he lays into the guy, he knocks him out. Yep. Knocks him out cold.
And then keeps wrestling.
And then plays the whole thing off like it was just, yeah, this is incredible. This is great. This is exactly what I want.
And he keeps wrestling the guy who can barely move. Like, he's still hitting him with stuff, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about this one, but of course, New Jack was almost king of the going to business for himself.
Mass Transit.
The people that think he's or Gypsy Joe, that they think that New Jack is a hero. New Jack was a piece of shit, man. Like, I don't speak ill of the dead, but Jesus Christ.
Don't get me wrong, the mass transit thing was all hugely compounded by the fact that kid had no business being in the ring, had no idea what he was doing. He put himself in a horrible position. So, you know, there's some fault to be laid there, but did he deserve to almost die because of it?
Right.
No. I mean, as soon as New Jack figured out what was going on, there should have been a, hey, we're not doing this.
Yes.
You know, I'm just going to walk.
New Jack.
And that is not what happened.
This is the same guy that literally stabbed a wrestler in the ring multiple times with a knife.
Yep.
That wasn't in the script. The only reason he didn't get, you know, thrown in jail for that is because he cut a deal with the kid where if he dropped charges, he would teach him how to wrestle. And then he didn't teach him how to wrestle.
We laugh a lot about it, too. But, I mean, even the New Jack, I can't feel my legs. You ain't going to need him.
He tried to kill him. Yeah.
That's him going into business for himself. I mean, that's
not
great.
You mentioned AAA. I think what you were talking about is the one that I thought about, and that was Sexy Star. Sexy Star, yes. who yeah, was she lost her cool in a match, or she got irritated, I forget what it was, and she almost broke Rosemary's arm, if I remember correctly. I'm looking at, and I had to look it up because I say the name Sexy Star, and I'm like, okay, that does not sound like a real wrestler's name. I feel like I'm going to embarrass myself. So I had to look it up.
That's right.
Yeah, and I love the thing on Google, on Bing, right next to her. It says, let me read you the description of her, right? And tell me who you think may have wrote this. Sexy Star is an excellent fighter, and people are stuck up about the incident with Rosemary. That is seeing black and white. She should be remembered for the good, not the bad. Who do you think wrote that? You think maybe Sexy Star wrote that?
Perhaps their name is S Star.
Oh, that's too obvious.
No, that's too obvious.
Sexy S. And as far as I know, she hasn't wrestled. I mean, she definitely hasn't been touched by a major promotion since then, as far as I know.
No.
I don't watch a lot of Mexico wrestling, will admit. So maybe I'm wrong on that. But yeah, I agree. I know that
went
way longer than we meant to, but I agree with you. That's shitty. Going into business for yourself is shitty. That's terrible.
Yep.
You win. You win this week.
I mean, again, the good news is we have, well, it's not good news. It's all bad news. We're tired of bad news.
Well, come on down the thrill world.
I'm trying to figure out why anyone would let this happen.
I ain't afraid of no Jeff Hardy.
Well, that's probably where we should start. Yeah. Because frankly, it's probably the shorter story. It happened before anyway. But yeah, stop me if you've heard this one before. Jeff Hardy was drinking, and got himself a DUI, and now his wrestling career is
suspended
in jeopardy all over again. He's currently suspended from AEW, so
without pay.
So here's the deal. Here's the gist of it. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a concert that he did this past weekend. I want to say, I guess it was. Actually, it may have been Monday night. Word has it there's been some video that's leaked since then that shows him drinking. He was then driving afterward, felony DUI. He got pulled over for doing so because it was pretty clear that he was, you know, drunk and driving. In the video, I'm just reading this now, and this kind of threw me off. In the midst of an acoustic concert, he can be seen taking a drink of a light brown liquid before he starts the song. In the video, someone off screen appears to say whiskey to him, and soon after he says into the mic, and I quote, this is Jeff Hardy, "Whiskey is my best friend and my worst enemy."
I can't even imagine. it's hard to make fun of this because addiction is a serious thing, and you know
absolutely,
that obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're not saying that it's not, but the ridiculousness from it comes from the fact that, you know,
how many times
this is
times are we gonna play this game with Jeff Hardy? This is more than once that he has been suspended or at least reprimanded by a company. He's been offered help, suggestions have been made of what he does. I saw in, god, it was either the one of the subreddit posts from Squared Circle or a 411 post about this. Like, the top-rated comment, that's why it makes me think it was Squared Circle, sums it up really, really well. Jeff Hardy, at this point, can be sober, or he can wrestle. He cannot do both.
Yeah.
He clearly is incapable of managing both of them at the same time, because when he stops wrestling, when he takes these breaks, he seems to be great. He gets back into his art, he does his music, he does his painting, and things are fine for the most part. But the moment he starts wrestling, and I don't know why anybody would be, you know, terribly surprised, number one, because this has happened so many times at this point, but also, I mean, look at the way Jeff Hardy wrestles. Look at the way he's been wrestling his entire life.
Yeah.
This is a very old school car crash style.
Right.
I need something to take the edge off, and for Jeff, it just happens to be alcohol.
I feel
that. In the past, it was pills. I mean, he got arrested for somas, as I recall, way back in the day, enough that they thought he was trafficking them. It turns out they were all just for him. So, I think he got one of those charges dropped just to prove that, or when he was able to prove that he wasn't trying to sell them, that he was just keeping them for himself.
Well,
but yeah, this was Sunday night. He did this convention. He did this set there and got arrested Monday.
From what I understand, it was a pretty intense scene. The three police officers, guns drawn, took Jeff Hardy out of the car. They gave him the standard tests, and he could not complete them. And then he blew close to 3.3 the two times that he did it, when he did the
which
the test
is
there.
Approximately 3.5 times the legal limit, because the legal limit countrywide, nationwide now, is 0.08, and has been for a long time. So 3.3 puts him at 3.5 times the legal limit. And a guy who, you know, yeah, he's older, don't get me wrong, but a guy who is in pretty good condition, I would have to imagine, considering what he does for a living. And that affects it, too. I mean, that's going to affect your ability to intake and retain alcohol. It's just... We talked about this with the Usos, and it continues to be a similar issue. How many chances do they get? So, this is the first time this has really happened, especially for Jeff specifically in AEW. Tony's response was, he's suspended without pay. We do not condone his actions.
Well, okay.
We're offering him treatment.
That's one of the things I wanted to mention. I hated the one thing that he said on there. And if I sound like a robot, I apologize. I've got a red bar here. I don't know if that's coming across to
you. It's a little bit, but it's just for me.
It'll be fine for them. What I hate is the way Tony, in his statement, said his alleged behavior. I get having to say that because, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but the evidence is out there, man. This isn't alleged behavior, and this isn't this isn't lightning in a bottle. Like you said, this is stuff that has happened before. Infamously. Right. You know, there was the TNA main event pay-per-view where he came out so out of it.
Oh, good Lord. Victory Road against Sting.
They had to call an audible there, and it was one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever seen in wrestling. And then
it's horrible.
He accidentally burned down his house, killed his dog. This is the guy who, just a couple of months ago, when he got let go from WWE, is because his behavior was so irrational during a match that they thought he may have been on something, and they offered to get him help. Yeah. And everyone laughed him out of the building. Because to be fair, he wasn't on anything at the time. The drug test showed nothing. But everyone laughed and said, oh, look at WWE, jumping the gun. And now that gave Jeff Hardy a chance to go to AEW, where now he's reunited with Matt. Whether you think they've done a good job with the Hardy Boys, I don't think they have, is a question, you know, for another show. But you've got Jeff Hardy over there in AEW, unlike WWE, where he was wrestling a more, you know, laid-back style and less of the hard-hitting shit. And he goes to AEW, he's trying to be the Hardy Boys from the early 2000s again. He's jumping off windowsills, he's going through tables, ladders, and stuff like that.
I mean, we specifically talked about that match with Darby Allin. It was a car crash, to borrow JR's, you know, infamous verbiage for it. And it more so than almost anything he's done in years now.
Yeah.
You can't keep living this way, man. No. This was never a sustainable way to live your life. Darby Allin is what? He's got to be 10, 15 years younger than him.
Yeah, early 20s.
And is still, you know, coming to a point where he's probably going to have to lighten it up a little bit, at least. Honestly, that pairing with Sting, I think, has done him some favors because Darby doesn't wrestle as often. And when he does, they're pretty straightforward matches. I don't want to take any blame away from Jeff here, and I certainly don't want to put too much onto to somebody else for what is clearly Jeff Hardy's actions, but I also don't think that Matt needs to keep getting off the hook for this. And what I mean by that is that Matt is always the one who comes along and says, it's fine, it's taken care of. You know, a lot of people feel bad for Matt because he's going to bat for him in these companies and saying, hey, you know, he'll be fine, everything's taken care of. But I think instead of feeling bad for Matt, maybe we need to look closer at Matt Hardy on that too, because again, here's a guy who is super close to his brother, knows how these things are going. And again, he still goes to every company that he goes to, because it's never Jeff first. Not really, anyway. It's almost always Matt. And he's the one going to bat for Jeff, saying, it's going to be great. Bring him in. We'll work together. I can help take care of him. It never works that way.
But yeah, but I don't think...
Does he need to be his brother's keeper? No.
That's what I say.
But I do think that maybe Matt, if Matt is going to keep having an opinion on this thing, he might need to start seeing the forest for the trees.
Well,
and step up.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I was going to say, I think it's on these companies to look at Jeff Hardy's history and decide whether or not they want to take the chance on that. Tony Khan knew what he was getting into when he signed Jeff Hardy. Yes. He knows Jeff Hardy's history. One person I always, you know, think is ridiculous, and I don't take them seriously because they're very ridiculous and loud and opinionated, is Rebe Sky, which is Matt Hardy's wife. But she posted, you know, I kind of feel for her on this because she posted a TikTok, which, whatever. I hate TikTok, but that's fine. But there were people that were, you know, talking
about... I don't know why. It's just video site, man.
It's the same reason I hated Reddit for the longest time. I'm just not on it, so I don't have
it's popular.
It's popular, and I can hate it. But she responded to a comment on TikTok who called her and Matt enablers. you know, not what you're saying, because you're not saying they're enablers, obviously. You're just
right, no.
You're just saying that maybe Matt needs to be more responsible for his brother, you know, with it, when his brother is clearly...
Right.
He needs to stop saying, hey, it'll be fine this time for the 100th time.
Right.
When it's not going to be fine.
Yeah.
But
I don't think he's pushing a drink into Jeff's hand.
No,
I
absolutely.
Think he's just getting too caught up in the how much money am I going to make as the Hardy Boys versus how much money am I going to make as Matt Hardy. Well, he'll probably be fine then. I'll keep an eye on it.
But Rebe responded to this comment, and I want to read her response because I think it's fair. She says, oh, so you were there when I booked the event, right? When I told the promoters to make sure there was no alcohol there and he wasn't served alcohol, you were there. And you were there when I was trying to make sure all night through the handlers that that was not happening. You were there when we walked into his hotel room that night, right? You were there, you know, because you were there. Oh, you weren't. Short of having him sleep in between me and Matt, there's really not much more I could have personally done. I make it a point to never speak on his behalf. That's not my place. I don't want to do that. He doesn't want me to do that. But what we're going to make perfectly clear is that I'm not responsible for the actions of a fully grown man. Neither is Matt. People seem to forget. I've been through this before with Matt. A lot of it is very triggering for me, and I'm going to deal with it how I deal with it, and a lot of that is stupid humor. If you don't like me, unfollow me, etc., etc. Please stop asking about Jeff. I will not be speaking another word on it. And I kind of agree with her on that. Like, Jeff Hardy, for all intents and purposes, is a grown man. And I think it was Asa who said it once years ago. We were talking about addiction, and, you know, because Asa, he went to college. He was very much in the criminal justice system. And he talked about, you know, if you don't want to get better, you're not going to get better, and other people can't be responsible for you. I personally, in the past couple of years, and now this wasn't drug or, you know, alcohol related, but just personally, one of my big fallings and the reason that certain things didn't work out with stuff is because I was letting other people be responsible for my happiness. I was letting people be responsible for my depression. I didn't take control of it myself, but I'm a grown man. I should have taken care of that, just like Jeff Hardy should take care of it. And it's not up to anybody else to take care of Jeff Hardy, but what it is these companies that are hiring him and paying him need to know this is what you're getting into. And the more you not only enable him through, you know, paying him to wrestle, but then letting him go out there and hurt himself so badly, it's ridiculous. And I think they do bear some responsibility there.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's you know, I'm playing armchair psychiatrist here, don't get me wrong, but maybe at this point, it's almost like Jeff needs a wrestling intervention. Like, his brother and the folks who are going to be potentially, you know, looking at employing him and all that just need to sit down and go, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
This is not something, you don't have to keep doing this.
Because he
doesn't. Clearly, you're not in a position to do it, you know. Don't get me wrong, Jeff's not broken down. It's not like he can't wrestle anymore. But again, I think that comment nails it. From what we've seen, from all observations, Jeff can either wrestle or he can be sober. He cannot do both. One of them is going to end up with him and or somebody else dead at his hands.
Look at Tammy Sitch.
And it's not wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, if it happened in wrestling, it would be a pure accident of just circumstance. If it happens because of drinking, it's not accidental.
There you go, yeah.
That's the difference.
Or it's going to happen in a car like Tammy Sitch.
That's what I mean. Yeah. If it happens because of drinking, it's going to be because something preventable went wrong. If it happens in wrestling, it's less likely that that's the case. Usually it's pure accident, something that could not have been stopped.
But it could be both. I mean, just think if Eric Bischoff hadn't come out there during Victory Road and said, no, this isn't happening, if they had allowed Jeff Hardy to wrestle Sting in the condition he was in, who knows what could have happened. That could have been very, very bad, you know?
And I mean, to be fair, they still didn't even really end it. Sting just kind of had to manhandle him into a finisher and then hold him tight so he could not get out of that.
Yeah. And I almost feel like that's what Vince McMahon does in WWE with the wrestling in general, was he made Jeff not wrestle the way he used to, because maybe they understood, Jeff, you don't have to go out there and jump off ladders anymore, man. You are Jeff Hardy. You will always be Jeff Hardy. Yeah. Look at Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is a guy that he never wrestled dangerously. He never did flips off the top rope or, you know, go through tables and ladders. But this is a guy that is, he's in his 60s now and has had how many surgeries on his hip to replace it? Just from dropping a leg.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen to Jeff Hardy if he survives 10, 15 years, especially at the rate he's going, you know?
The real problem at this point is going to be getting Jeff Hardy to agree with that. And that to me is the problem. How do you convince him, hey, it's time to stop?
Yeah.
Especially when, again, you see we're in an era, a revival of guys like Edge and guys like Daniel Bryan coming back from career-ending injuries. And Jeff's going to be able to look at that and go, I'm not even injured. I'm good. Let's go.
I'm good to go.
I think I think he's going to have to start looking at his, and let's call a spade, his alcoholism as an injury or as a defect. You don't heal from that by just going back out there and hoping for the best. I mean,
and it's
rehab and an intense
it's
shift
a battle.
In the mentality of it. Yeah. Yeah. And it is a disease. I mean, I am in no way diminishing it or trying to deflect it. It's as much a quote unquote, you know, injury or defect as it is a disease. But the real trick is going to be somebody convincing Jeff that that's the case, because everyone around him knows it.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't.
I guarantee you Jeff Hardy does not drink and think to himself, man, I can't wait to hurt someone or embarrass myself. That's not what people drink do. Look at Bam Margera. Bam Margera, apparently, I don't know if you saw this, but he ran away from his rehab facility today and he's missing. You know, alcoholism, man, it's like any other disease. It's like drug abuse. It's like mental health. You know, these are things that people have to fight with and struggle with every single day. And some people just need to have a little bit more structure because they can't fight it on their own. And I agree with you. I think Jeff Hardy needs that. Hey, not to shift subjects onto something that's possibly even worse. Well, it's also bad. But speaking of people needing to be stopped.
This is the main event, and weirdly, it just happened like hours ago.
Once,
talking about your good timing for us, anyway.
Instead of it being directly after the show, and we go, "Oh God damn it!" Now we got to wait a week.
We'll never forget China, Joni Laura passing away, and I mean, we were 20 minutes after a show.
Yep.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, that was certainly not the main point of, oh man, now we don't get to talk about it. But I felt terrible of like, here, we're going to put this out there and this just happened.
Especially with the humor that we had, especially back then.
Right.
Here we are cracking wise on everything, and Joni Lorner just passed away. But anyway, so this is insane. And this legitimately, for once, and without hyperbole, this may be the end of the Vince McMahon legacy. Hunter, please inform. I've got it pulled up here. I'm sure you got the same stories pulled up.
Right.
What the hell's going
on? I'm gonna try to summarize this as quickly as I can, because even I haven't read through the whole story, but here's the deal. A few hours ago, it broke that Vince McMahon is under investigation, reportedly, but at this point, it's all but guaranteed, by the WWE's board of directors. Remember, they are a publicly traded company, so as much as you think Vince is in control, he is not. Here's the thing. It's not just a run-of-the-mill investigation. This is over an alleged $3 million payment made to a former employee that, guess what, Vince allegedly had a sexual relationship with. This is coming out of the Wall Street Journal. It says that the board is investigating the payment. It was made in January of this year, so it was not that long ago, and that it would prevent, it's basically hush money, it prevents a now former employee from discussing her relationship with McMahon or disparaging him in any way. It's a non-disclosure, like an NDA. Sound familiar? I'll let you handle that in a little bit. So the report says that basically this person was hired as a paralegal in 2019, a few years ago. The investigation started in April of this year, has reportedly uncovered some other and older NDAs involving claims of misconduct made by former WWE employees against Vince, as well as, you guessed it, good old Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, the head of talent relations, who has often been accused of this kind of thing. Just look at the people that he hires in terms of the women's roster. The journal hasn't determined how many of those agreements are looking into. They're still outside counsel that the board has collecting information about the NDAs. They say it's apparently millions of dollars. One thing, I guess it is important to note, they are not accusing McMahon of using company money. It's personal funds to pay the employee, but effectively these NDAs are on the books, and that's how they learned about it. One of the reported ones says that an email sent in March from a friend of a former employee noted that the employee was hired and given a $100,000 salary, so six figures out of the gate, doubled to $200,000 once she supposedly, reportedly, started this relationship with Vince. That he then, Vince, and I'm quoting here, gave her like a toy to Laurinaitis. And the email goes on to say, quote, my friend was so scared she quit after Vince McMahon and lawyer Jerry McDevitt paid her millions of dollars to shut up. So this goes on and on to continue to discuss these things. For the record, interestingly enough, Stephanie McMahon is one of the people on that 12-person board. She is currently on a leave of absence, but she is technically on the board for this. A lot of other places have come out to talk about this. The journal apparently has uncovered that the woman named in the report was suspected by many in WWE to be involved in this kind of situation, but they still have not confirmed who it actually is, which is probably for the best.
So my question,
that's
mostly
what I got, I think.
I'm curious about this. The way that I've read it makes it sound like her and Vince McMahon had a relationship, and then he paid her to be quiet about it with his own money.
Yes.
But it also feels, when it says things like, she was so scared she quit after they gave her money and he gave her like a toy to Laurinaitis, it almost feels like it was sexual harassment slash, you know, potential rape allegations. So I'm trying to figure out where we land on this. Was this just a, oh, they had a relationship and he clearly showed her, you know, nepotism, favoritism, and then he paid her off so she wouldn't tell anybody? Or is this a, he was sexually harassing her and then they paid her to keep her mouth shut about it?
I wonder if it's not a little from column A and a little from B. It started out the way you described it in the beginning, but the longer it went, the less she was interested in being a part of it. And if that whole gave her like a toy thing comes to fruition, that's Vince basically saying, okay, you don't want to mess with me, then mess with him if you want to keep this up. And then it doesn't happen that way. Now, that's all speculative. Every bit of that is purely speculative. This is coming from that same article that might shine a little light on that. It says those who spoke, those at the site that spoke with WWE, that's of course on condition of anonymity, agree that this is the biggest threat to Vince since the steroid trial of 94. It is expected by many of them that Laurinaitis will be replaced. One source has speculated that he's being set up as Vince's fall guy and that his quote turn in line was coming. Somebody also mentioned that there were lots of other rumors of misconduct on Laurinaitis' part, which we talked about a little bit earlier. And then it goes on to say that basically this is going to be a domino effect. There's no way that Laurinaitis doesn't resign. They think Vince is going to fight hard to stay in power somehow, and that basically he's going to call in every favor, cash in every chip, and put every person he can in front of him to try to stop that bullet before it makes it to him. So Ace is probably out, right? He's almost definitely taking the fall for this. The question then is how many other people get thrown into that line? Is Jerry McDevitt finally done with WWE? Is this the one thing he can't prevent Vince from getting, you know, because he famously was the one who took care of the steroid trial.
Yeah.
And got Vince out of that.
Has a job for life.
Legal liar, job for life. Until, of course, Vince isn't there anymore. One thing we haven't talked about with this, and I hate to just keep putting new things on top of it, but I don't know any other way to discuss this. I had seen somebody mention that, wow, Nick Khan gets brought into WWE and he just brings the whole McMahon family down, huh? Because he's part of that board of directors too.
Yeah.
And the current, and this is far more rumor than any of the rest of it. The current rumor there is that he had something to do with pushing this forward, that maybe he's trying to muscle out the McMahon family so he can take full control. I think that's maybe a little far. That's going to take a lot because, again, both Stephanie and Triple H are on that board of directors, too.
I don't know, man. At this point, like, do we... I don't want to protect Vince McMahon, first off. Like, is this such,
sure.
Is this such a bad thing if Vince McMahon is booted out and Nick Khan takes over? Like, I don't agree with Nick Khan's policies on wrestling, per se, but I'll tell you what Nick Khan hasn't done is notoriously sexually, at least as we know of so far, sexually harass people over however many, you know, decades, and also put that on television, sure, for everyone to watch. This is Vince McMahon who made Trish Stratus strip down to her thong and bra and bark like a dog on all fours. This is Vince McMahon who had an on-screen relationship with almost every diva during the late 90s and early 2000s just to feed his ego.
There's a quote that I love, and don't get me wrong, technically, I'm not defending it, but is a character that was made for a television show that was meant to be, you know, an evil, horrible bastard who always got his comeuppance. But there's also something that says when people show you and tell you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's really hard not to put that into perspective.
Well, and McMahon has talked about his, you know, infidelity in the past. Because don't forget, Vince McMahon is still married to Linda McMahon. Now, the rumor is that they have been...
Yeah, don't forget, because he definitely has.
Yeah, well, the rumor is that they've been split for a long time. Jim Cornette's talked about this on his show multiple times, that they're only together in name only, not in actual relationship. Right. And I don't blame Linda McMahon if it did leave him. I don't particularly like Linda McMahon. She was a Trump supporter. She was on his cabinet, or in his cabinet. Vince McMahon is obviously a friend of Trump, and wow, what a coincidence that Donald Trump, the president who famously paid off Stormy Daniels when he had an affair with her while his wife was pregnant with their child, that two birds of a feather, man. What happened to Donald Trump? Nothing happened to Donald Trump. He got away scot-free with everything. So was Vince McMahon going to have the same power?
The biggest difference there is that you've got somebody who was in a high position of power was able to kind of invoke that that Clinton era deal of, hey, we can't talk about this while I'm president. Like, I've got other things to do. And like it or not, that's basically how they both kind of put those things off to the side and dealt with them at a later point in time. Vince does not have that level of a Kevlar vest in front of him right now. Because this is coming from, the call is coming from inside the house. This is his company's people saying, we've been made aware of this. We're looking into it. If you have something to say, say it now, because otherwise we'll see you in court. I really think he's going to have to full-blown circle the wagons here. What's really going to be interesting to me about this, as all this stuff starts to play out, is if any one of them decides this is not worth it anymore. At what point does somebody go, man, maybe it's in my best interests to
play ball,
tell the McMahon family to kick rocks, and maybe I will be on the upswing other side of this when they definitely get ousted, because any little break in the armor is going to hopefully, in the sense that obviously we want to know the truth, but if this is indeed true, it's going to hopefully be enough for somebody to go, that's what we needed. That's the information we needed. That is the undeniable proof that this happened.
So,
and we're going to take full action.
If what comes out is that Vince McMahon had a relationship with a woman on his staff and that he gave her a promotion for it, et cetera, et cetera. If that's all it is, let's say that's all it is that Vince McMahon has a history of starting a relationship with young, you know, women in there, which is scummy, don't get me wrong, but sure. If two adults enter an adult relationship together and that is what it is, it's just on company time, what do you think the ramifications of that are? Do you think he's still ousted, is he only ousted if this turns out to be a power dynamic of, I'm your boss, you will sleep with me, and then when you decide you're not going to do it anymore, I'm passing you off to somebody else?
I think it depends on who's going after him and how badly it really is going to come down to a personal mentality. How badly does this person or this group of persons want him gone? Because like you said, even though it's scummy and disgusting and it's you know, legal infidelity, two people entering a consensual relationship is what it is. If that's what it was. Even so, though, if that is the case, and WWE, as every major company in the world does, has a very clear clause and series of rules for this in their company bylaws, which usually is a disclosure form. If you have a relationship with someone else who works for that company, you have to disclose it to HR, such that if anything happens as a result of it, like this, they can say, yes, we knew about it. This was something we were aware of. There's no way that exists. And if it does, somebody forged it, because there's no way that there would be a disclosure form there. If he's asking for an NDA afterward, then there's no way that a disclosure existed in the first place. They could get him on that. It would be like a technicality level of, again, you go back to the Clinton situation. There is no morality clause for being president of the United States. They took him to court over perjury, you know, over him lying under oath saying he did or didn't do something. And if you remember, that entire thing started about nothing about this. It was all about, not Watergate. What's it called? Whitewater. Thank you. Yeah. It was about land ownership and a whole separate thing.
Right.
I don't think this goes that far, not to get too tangential there, but I really do think it comes down to whoever is in charge of this investigation. Again, it's an outside counsel. And is there anybody on that board who really wants him out? Because if they do, again, this really is, it's hard to disagree with. Yeah, it's hard to disagree with this being the worst thing that has happened to the McMahon family, or at least Vince McMahon, since the steroid trial in 1994. That was the last time that somebody got a clear shot at him. This might be as bad, if not worse.
Especially in this era of what we live in, of the Me Too movement. Although, how far the Me Too movement was moved back because of the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case is up to you. You know, whatever. I'm not going to talk about that right now. Maybe one day. No turning back with Shannon Young. But
right.
They're coming out of the woodwork to talk about it, too. And Vince Russo said a bunch of stuff, which I won't repeat, because fuck Vince Russo. Who fucking cares what Vince Russo has to say about anything?
Of all the links I clicked about this in the past, you know, 3-4 hours or whatever, the one I didn't was the one that said, you know, various people react to, and I went, I'm good.
Yeah.
There's never a reaction there that makes me go, oh, wow, that's new and insightful information I didn't have before. It's always just somebody being like, yeah, you're right, or here's all the reasons why this doesn't matter. I'm very edgy.
The only one that I saw on there that interests me in any way is Gail Kim, because someone asked her flat out, with the things that you had a problem with in WWE, do you have anything to say about this? And her response was no comment at this time. So I'm curious to see, because if you don't think Vince McMahon wasn't hitting on all of the divas, quote unquote, back then, I mean, you're insane. Vince McMahon is a scummy motherfucker.
He always has been. Probably now.
And now, yeah, 76 years old. I imagine he's still hitting on all of them. And it's sad and pathetic. He's the old man at the club that wants to be cool. And Vince McMahon is, he's not Donald Trump, and he wasn't president, but he was still.
He owns the club.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He's not Donald Trump and the president, but at the same time, he's still the guy when it comes to WWE. He is the president of WWE and all, you know, maybe not officially anymore. I don't know his power dynamic, but when it comes to wrestling, he's still Vince McMahon. He's still Vince. Yep. And like, I want someone to take him down because I have had, oh my God, between the blood money deal with Saudi Arabia, the way he's treated his employees, the way he's treated the women, the way, you know, there's so many things, a long list of terrible things Vince McMahon has done. And if they have to Al Capone his ass and get him on tax evasion as opposed to the stuff he actually did, then good.
Right. Yeah. At a certain point, none of this is about, you know, pro wrestling and pushes and title belts and all of that, but at the same time, like I said, it's hard not to see the clear shot here, because we've said it more than once on this show, and I continue to believe it is the case until somebody shows me otherwise, because all signs point to this being it. Anytime that there's something you don't like happening in WWE, not wrestling, but in WWE, or that you're sitting there questioning why is this happening, the answer always boils down to, at its smallest level, because Vince McMahon wants it to.
Yeah.
He does not care what you want. He does not care what the focus audience wants. Maybe it just happens to be something we all really like. Most of the time, it's not.
Yep.
And that is because it's what he wanted to happen, because for better or worse, that's what he thought should happen, even if it was or was not a good or a bad idea, whatever. It all goes through him. I am desperate to find out what that company looks like with him not in the seat, with him not in the driver's seat. And so, admittedly, at this point, I'm kind of like, yeah, nail his ass to the wall. Again, more importantly, if he did these things,
if he did bad things.
Sure.
Right.
But beyond that, like, I'm also curious about, okay, what happens when the fallout is done? What happens in the aftermath of this? That's a question for another time. We don't have time.
We just don't. We're out of time, actually. That's it. We're out of here. That's going to do it for us tonight. This is a story that, like, we really are. We'll talk to you next week, because there's going to be a lot more coming out.
I wish we had something to say about. We keep talking about following up on things. We have nothing to add about MJF. AEW has gone pretty much totally dark. They're playing it up that Warner Media has instructed them not to advertise him, or they did that to Warner Media. I don't remember.
Tammy Sitch is Sasha still Naomi. In jail.
Yeah, Sasha and Naomi have both started doing, like, non-wrestling related things. I think Sasha got some eye surgery.
That's my surgery, yeah.
And Naomi posted something about, you know, living your best life. I don't know.
Good for her.
They're also not talking. One of those is an angle. One of them is not. At this point, it is pretty much indeterminate as to which one is which.
what became what, I don't know.
But so this, there's not much to follow. It's nothing happening.
But this is not one of those things that it's like, well, we won't hear about this. No, we're definitely going to hear about this. We'll keep you updated on it. But that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow with an all-new Podzilla After Dark here on the PZ85 Network. For myself and for Double H, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Hunter, take us out.
Later.